Hello and welcome to this week's Weirder Things podcast. I'm Michael McCann.
And I'm very sorry for your loss.
What?
I don't know, it just sounded like a service or something. So, yeah, he sounded quite like a Church of Scotland minister there, introducing the congregation, a service of memorial to something terrible happening.
Yes, we're very, very sorry. but thanks for tuning in anyway.
That's it.
Right, so we'll get on with it. We'll start by dropping a truth bomb on the listeners.
I am Innes Smith.
You are Innes Smith.
And you are?
I am Michael McCann.
Yeah, well done. That's good.
We're going to drop a truth bomb on the listeners this week.
A truth bomb?
Well, an honesty bomb.
An honesty bomb?
We have been so busy that we've not been able to prepare.
No.
Yeah, we've not been able to come up with a really good story about Scotland this week, but that's why we have such fabulous listeners, because they provide the stories for us. Because last week we did listener stories. People emailed us in, sent us some stories, which were very good.
This is what it's all about, Michael,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is why we do it.
Yeah. And then more people sent us more. So we're going to do a listener stories part two.
Ooh.
Yeah. So before we do this, and you need to warm up your voice.
Okay.
We've got some shout outs to people.
Shout outs, really?
Yeah. We've had some people email us.
It's like pirate radio, yeah.
It is a wee bit like pirate radio. So you can tell we're starting to get listeners, yeah, people starting to contact us.
That's like Weirder Things podcast, yeah. Big shout out to
Cynthia Fuller.
Yeah, Sinfu.
Cynthia, we're glad that you're getting used to your Scottish accents. She's listening to the podcast. She's enjoying it. She's getting used to her accents.
That's nice.
That's good. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
She says the more she listens to it, the more she understands it. She sometimes listens to episodes more than once.
Wow.
Right, that's pretty good.
Just like what you should do is listen to episodes of Taggart.
Yes.
Because everyone speaks like this.
There's been a murder.
That's right.
We've also got two folk in California.
California?
Yeah.
Like, dude?
The lovely Paula McCambridge and her friend Elaine.
McCambridge?
McCambridge.
As in the son of Cambridge?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. She and Elaine have started their own podcast.
Cool.
Called Wait What?
Wait What?
Wait What? That's the name of it. So you can get them on iTunes, but they'll listen to your podcast. So I think at some point we need to probably listen to theirs back as well.
We definitely should.
They are.
What's the name of the podcast again?
Wait What?
As in Wait What?
Yeah, but it's multiple A's.
Okay.
So it's Wait What?
Okay, get that.
Yeah. So something... just again, in case nobody got that, it's Wait What? So I'm just going to yeah, thanks for emailing us, and we're glad you're enjoying this podcast. And to David Watt, who said some nice things about us on Facebook.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah, so thank you to those people.
Thank you to everyone around the world. Thanks for tuning in. And yeah, we feel the love. We feel it.
Yeah, it's this palpable. Week has been...
It's in the room.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice that people start to contact us. And it lets us know that people are actually out there listening to the podcast.
Actually out there and actually listening.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we're not just doing this for shits and gigs, as they say. We're actually...
That means excrement and laughter.
Yes. Before we move on, just remind people what hings means, Innes.
Hings? Just a translation. Hang on. Could you pass me over a dictionary, please?
From?
Just behind...
Just pretend.
Here you go. Just pick kind of thing. Do you
want an actual...
Right.
You want the sound of the pages to
pretend. Just pretend. Start there.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so we're looking at the Scots English Dictionary.
Yeah.
So if we look up hings... Ah, here it is.
yeah.
Right. Here we are. Hings means... things.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm concerned.
It was worth it as a gag, I thought.
Yeah.
You had to hear the pages turn.
Yeah.
That's how it works. That's right. How that
I'm concerned that people are looking at our, you know, our postals and stuff like that. they're spelt things wrong. But well, it's actually meant to be Hings. Because
in many respects, we have spelt it wrong. But it's how we say Hings. Yeah. We don't. I mean, not all Scottish people speak in the same way.
We don't. We've got regional accents. Right. So some lovely people have sent us some
lovely people.
Lovely stories. Lovely. They're paranormal.
Are they lovely though? Are they?
No, they're not. They're the opposite.
Are they not
lovely?
Just weird?
They're weird.
Which is what we're after.
So
lovely, lovely Hings podcast is lovely. another podcast.
That's all our next podcast we're going to do.
Lovely things.
Yeah. So we're going to crack on with those, I think, would be.
Are we going to crack on with them?
Yeah, let's crack on with them because some of them are quite in depth. Yeah,
but what I liked is last time I put a shout out for all night watchmen.
You did.
Watch stroke women. Watch persons. Persons of the watch, the night watch. I asked if they could get in touch because obviously one might imagine that they have seen some spooky things. So we're very lucky that an Eric Jarvie got in touch and he wrote us quite a substantial email.
He did.
It's quite full and complete. And just as a special treat, it's almost like audible, you know.
Yeah.
It's almost like a talking book. I'm going to read Mr. Eric Jarvie's account of odd experiences he had as a night watchman. So shall we just go for it?
Let's delve right into this.
Let's delve right in, okay. Now, as far as I'm concerned, Mr. Eric Jarvie, knowing the format, is quite content with us giving his real name.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, well, that's good. You can get in touch anonymously or ask us to change the names of the innocent to avoid embarrassing moments at the water cooler kind of thing. Okay, we're very happy to do that as
Eric
well.
Eric has been in touch and told us he is going to get all his night watchman friends to tune into this.
All right, at night.
And then they probably will then go, oh, I've seen, and then they'll send stuff in, which we absolutely want you to do.
We do, and then we'll just change the podcast name to Weirder Night Watch People.
Yeah.
And their Hings.
And their Hings that
and
happen.
And their Hings that happen. Hings that happen. Right, okay, so let's go for it, okay? Did people like the voice? We'll just keep going.
I think the voice it gives it gravitas.
Okay, give it. So this is I think what's known in the business as a dry read. So I've not actually read it before. So if it's awful,
it gives it realism. That's why. Nothing is prepared here.
That's true. I am
we've been far too busy this week. So
just reading this.
Yeah.
Hi, Weirder Things Podcast. My name is Eric Jarvie. Work I as security guard at night, mainly demolitions, derelictions, etc. I was employed by a firm in September 2013 called OptoSafe from Glasgow. I was engaged with a former workmate. The firm hired two of us from another firm we had recently worked for. The colleague was a guy called Barry, a bodybuilder, a huge, muscled man, and pub bouncer, a really nice guy. Listen, Eric, don't feel threatened by Michael laughing. It's okay to notice other men having muscles, isn't it?
It absolutely is. It was just your description.
Doesn't flag up.
My brain started wandering.
That's
again.
That's it. It's the way I tell them.
It is the way you tell them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I'm laughing at Innes, not you, Eric.
That's it. Okay. A huge, muscled man. See, that's it.
Yeah.
You're used to it now. You're over the shock.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can cope with it now. A really nice guy. I was also engaged with a former soldier. There were three guards to man this place at night. A former but now derelict primary school,
Bonington Primary on Bonington Road, Edinburgh. The contractor was McLaughlin and Harvey. The first thing to go wrong was when Barry refused after just one night to go to work. I called him to ask, "What's up?" He said bluntly, "There's nae lights on the job, so I'm no working there." I told him to simply connect a cable to the lights, as work was progressing through the day, so we would need to find our own power source to light up the interior at night. But he wouldn't have it. I had worked with Barry on another previous but abandoned educational establishment, the former Ark Rook Hotel in Edinburgh's Grassmarket. That place was huge and pretty dark and sinister at night, so I was surprised Barry had difficulty finding lights. Regardless, carry on, Michael.
Sorry.
Have a drink, you thirsty boy.
Hey, sorry.
Swallow, Michael. Swallow.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. It's fine. Try and control yourself.
Okay. Back.
Okay. So I was surprised Barry had difficulty finding lights. Regardless, I continued work, but was disappointed, as I always liked Barry and had spent many dark long evenings with Barry and in even worse lighting conditions than these. I couldn't understand Barry's complaint, as to get lights, you simply picked up a cable and plugged it in. After 2 weeks without Barry and me, now doing this shifts, the soldier guy phones in to say he is sick, so he won't be returning either. So I tell OptoSafe, since they're in Glasgow, to give all the shifts me, the whole 7 nights. As I was angered and disappointed. Why? Why was everybody leaving? The firm reluctantly gave me the shifts, and I got on with the job. Now, you need to understand that often extreme long hours are the norm in security. 14-15-hour shifts are common in construction. Security and fatigue and tiredness are part of the task that you have to overcome. Also, most people understand that mild hallucinations are a fact of extreme tiredness and lack of sleep. And I have had many episodes in the job of that. But a dozing off is usually the cure, an outcome, and these fatigue episodes have had little effect on me. So one evening, I go into the darkened basement and boiler room to check on the new boiler, which is rattling its pipes, as I believe it needs further depressurized. The boiler's fine, with no leaks, so I turn around to make my way back up the stairs, and for just a split second, I see a vision of a small boy sitting down dressed in Victorian clothes, complete with peak cap and necktie. He was in side profile, and the steps he was sitting on were in front of the coal shuttle chute, where coal had been shoveled into the basement in days gone by, and from its yard outside in the school's playground. He had on, I think, maybe a red jumper, and definitely black trousers. But as often seeing these things through, being tired, I just thought, well, I am in this old Victorian school, so I'm probably just tired, and seeing, well, old Victorian things again. I didn't realize I was seeing a ghost. Now you have to appreciate this aspect, as it's very important. Refurbishments, a very intense chaotic work, new heating and electrical equipment, painting, decorating, security cameras, etc., were all being installed, and at a breakneck pace, and the job itself was rather chaotic and very untidy. Also, an Albanian gentleman, aged around 40, called Fetos, was the foreman, and he was pushing this job rather hard, and his men, and at a pace you'd expect from a foreigner, and a worker hell-bent on making his money. Also, he had another Albanian friend with him, at his side, that seemed to work every hour, non-stop, to get this job done. An example of this extremeness was when one day I called in for work and Fatos had fell fast asleep in his van parked in the playground. Now, a day or two later, after I had been seeing things, mild hallucinations as I thought from tiredness, not really surprising doing 7 12-hour shifts and no days off for weeks, I go into Fatos's office, and on his desk is a very good drawing, basically a bust of the thing I'd seen there in pen and ink on the desk. In there, a detail of this figure in profile with peaked cap and necktie. So in front of Fatos, I pick up this drawing, bemused at the idea that somebody else had seen what I had seen. Fatos then turns to me and says, "Oh, it was me that started all that whole thing off." Now, bear in mind, at this point, I still don't appreciate I have been seeing a ghost. In fact, I was at a complete loss as to what was going on, more than anything else. After all, Fatos said he had started all of this off. So I was thinking along the lines of something rational, or lucid, indeed, sensible. It still never entered my mind that this was a ghost sighting, and others were seeing this, and Fatos, the foreign worker and boss, desperate for money, was poo-pooing the whole idea in an effort to control his workers, who were clearly vacating this place. That part of Fatos's denial I figured out later after finishing the job, as one evening after this conversation where I'd still not caught on, there's not just one ghost, but actually two ghosts in this place. So again, Fatos strikes up another conversation by strangely and out of the blue asking this question. "Eric, do you believe in God?" Now, I thought that strange. And by the way, why was this man tired and ill-looking at this stage? I said, "Yes," to which he replied, "I don't believe in a God." To which I thought, well, I must be that strict religious upbringing in Albania they get. But again, not really realizing what he was really trying to get across, and for that matter, what he was really talking about. Bloody ghosts. Not until I finished the job did I realize I was seeing a ghost that Fatos was claiming he caused. An example, I heard a noise from the upper floors one evening. I had light up in the upper floor, leaving the lower and middle floors in darkness. I went into the stairwell to look up the floors, thinking I maybe had another break-in on my hands, as we suffered a break-in by local teens previously. At the upper floor in the left-hand corner stood a gentleman in black tight black coat tails and patent leather shoes and a pure brilliant white starched shirt. Again, Victorian-looking and dressed as though perhaps he was the schoolmaster. Again, this vision lasted a mere split second, and by the time I blinked my eyes for a double check, it was gone. However, one thing I noted was that he appeared to be very pleasant and smiling, as though this gesture would have been aimed at the children, who, if they were there, would be climbing the stairs to go into class. The strangest thing about it was that it made no noise, and it didn't even seem to pay attention to me, as if it were there, and yet it wasn't there, so to speak. Or could I put it another way, stating that in this split second, it was like meeting a man who was deaf and dumb, perhaps even blind, as a manner of this individual seemed somewhat similar, or simply put, without the faculties of a human. Also, if I recall, the headmaster's office was on this level. Maybe that's what the vision was. But again, though a little disturbed, but nevertheless obviously fatigued at the hours I was doing, I said to myself, "Eric, you're knackered, son, and you're seeing things again." So I got myself together and climbed the stairs. And I would be dishonest if I say that the upper floor wasn't scary as it actually was. An example I constantly heard, a rattle from the upper floor, which I figured out is the fire exit door, which was facing the breeze at night. So it must be the fire door that's rattling, I think. So I go up and pressure the door, pushing it back and forwards on its lock. It's loose, and it rattles, so this must be the source of noise, which is a boom, boom. I get a piece of cardboard, an old trick that works well, and push the closed door to its maximum, and force in the cardboard to cushion to the door. Et voila, I think, till the boom, boom returns. I swear, though, I never really appreciated it until I left this job and put it all together. That was ghost sightings that my mates left over, and Fatos tried to control and knew all about it from his own experience, as well as the engineers fitting a new boiler in the basement, where the Victorian coal stoker, aged about 12, seemed to haunt, as well as the uncalled-for discussion mentioning God and all of that. That I never even bothered to discover what was rattling on the upper floors, and the pipes of the boiler which rattled endlessly from the basement, another area which I became afraid of, as though throughout this time, still not having this appreciation of ghosts, just my tiredness to deal with, I nevertheless was just too bloody afraid at times to go up to the upper floors. An even stranger episode was this. I went out to patrol the playground. I was sure the door was off its latch, so let it shut, confident that it would open when I returned. I got back to get into the school and found the door locked. Straight away, I was spun into confusion, believing I had a lapse, saying to myself, "That door was unlatched. I checked." Now, I didn't have any keys. My firm was in Glasgow, and it's about 3 a.m. I can't call my bosses. And this is a major screw-up, and I'm going to look very stupid. So I try to find a way to break into the building. And the only option I have is to throw myself down the basement windows into the basement. Bear in mind, the basement windows have been removed, and the basement was where the ghost was, and the ghost was said to be seen staring into the coal chute where the coal was previously delivered. Now the chute was ostensibly a cut-out frame in the building. It had the same pattern as the windows. In fact, it was a window. I thought it very ironic I had to enter the building this way, as basically this was the same method the coal was delivered. And this boy, the ghost, was manning that entrance. And I had to get in using that method. I was pretty afraid sliding down into that basement after seeing things in there before. But look at what I'm doing, I said to myself. How ironic is that? I should tell you that I'm presently cooperating through my union with professors of psychology from Portsmouth University, Dr. Ristos Tallas, who are studying mental health impacts on security workers in the UK. It's just a general inquiry. I'm not under any doctor or unwell or anything like that. So you should appreciate that this is a concern in our industry. In fact, it's part of the job, and it can have a dramatic effect on your mental health and well-being. If you could focus attention on this, and post-traumatic stress disorder, you would be assisting many lone security operatives who really are expected to function as fit in these kinds of conditions. I'm sure the good professors at Portsmouth University would agree. I have mentioned I have suffered nightmares associated with episodes like this. They appreciate post-traumatic stress disorder is common in our industry, and though many guards may fear more in being honest in admitting that we all have a natural understanding and fear of the dark in the dead of the night, and of course know of ghosts, whether these ghosts be lucid or a symptomatic idiom of indeed something else. However, with this in mind, I am convinced that when another individual, Mr. Fatos Kleshy, can depict something I believe I have seen that's not physical real, or perhaps even of this world, then that episode is noteworthy and should not go unrecorded. After all, we are security men, charged with a responsible task and a clear defined public duty. Regards, Mr. Eric Jarvey.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Eric. That was and I want to apologize for any homoerotic overtones or undertones that Michael solely interpreted from that.
Yeah, but I see that in everything. So it's,
yeah, that's true. That's his issues.
I think the ending of that was quite interesting, particularly with how people who work in that industry, are now being studied, because of the environment in which they work.
Well, it's sensory deprivation is one of the. I mean, the scientific evidence is really clear and unambiguous on sensory deprivation leading to hallucinations, basically. So, so it's the fact that you're leaving people alone in dark buildings at night.
Yeah.
No wonder strange stuff is going to happen.
Yeah, I think we spoke about something. Do you remember? I can't remember when it was, but when we were speaking about how the tour guides had the ghost tours and stuff like that in Edinburgh.
Yeah,
I think it was asked like that must affect them. In fact, I've met a few and I've asked them like that must affect you mentally, having to go into that environment. A couple of times a day or every night, to any places that are potentially haunted or what you are told is haunted, that must take quite a toll on you.
I think if you believe in it, perhaps.
Yeah.
If you don't believe in it, then you don't give a monkey's.
Yeah, but I think like working in a place like that, your imagination is going to probably run away with you at some point, whether you believe in it or not.
Well, what I find quite interesting. And if there are, because they are quite literally and tragically a dying breed, but if there are any old coal miners, because I don't think even Scotland has a working coal mine left, does it?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
No.
But Scotland obviously used to have loads of coal mines.
even up until it was the 1980s, they started to shut down, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think the last one was like a couple of years ago. It was still working up until a few years ago.
Yeah, but so if there are any coal miners, get in touch, because there's a huge kind of folklore associated with coal mining.
Yeah,
or any kind of mining deep underground. Miners have lots of stories of weird things happening in coal mines.
Yeah, it's something to do with the darkness.
Yeah, I mean, that's very much part and parcel of the Cornish tin miners and the Picks, yeah. the Piskies and the Pixies down the coal mines. So, but yeah, odd things happen in dark places.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, so if there are any old coal miners, or you have an old coal miner in the family, then get in touch. We want to know. We want to hear all about it. But also, this is a fascinating seam. Talking to extend the mining analogy, this is a fascinating seam that we can tunnel into the whole kind of security guards.
Yeah.
So, first of all, and I hope you didn't think that reading was particularly disrespectful. You know, we do it for it. We must be honest and say we do it for entertainment purposes. But there is a serious. We're trying to bring all these stories into the public, and that's really interesting. All I would say is, Eric, is you're not alone. Lots of people do. It's lots of people that work in the industry have these experiences, and we want to hear more.
Yeah, definitely. And it's definitely, yeah. Because I can imagine working in an old school building by myself. I think my imagination would start to run about. Because I remember when the old Victoria Hospital closed in, I was lucky enough to be allowed in to take some pictures. And then even though it was a daylight today, where it's like clear blue skies and sunny, it was still spooky because it was an empty building and it was closing down and there was no one in it bar me and I think one other person. And you're walking down an empty corridor and you're suddenly kind of aware that you're alone.
Right.
And because you're also in a hospital, you're like, people have died in here. Your brain just automatically does that thing. It puts the two things together, and then suddenly, before you know what's happening, you're hearing noises and going, oh, what was that? I saw something outside the mat, you know, and there was nothing. So I find all that stuff interesting.
Yeah, it's a sort of sensory feedback loop as well that happens, that as soon as you start to be afraid, as your senses it become
spirals.
Heightened.
Yeah, it just spirals.
And you can, and it sometimes becomes panic.
Yeah, because you get that thing where you're like, no, it's fine, everything's, it's my imagination, and then before you know what's happening, you're sprinting full speed at the building. So it does happen, yeah.
Yeah, there's some good stories though. I'm trying to remember exactly where it was. Perhaps some Edinburghers could get in touch if they know where this is. But it's apparently, it used to be like a children's hospice or either part of a hospital or a Victorian poorhouse or something. But it was basically full of orphans. And it's now offices. So it's an old Victorian building. Mm-hmm. It's now offices. And these are stories told by the cleaners. So these are the people that go into the offices. And because I think this story was told to me by a lawyer. So whether or not they're now legal offices or a lot of the offices are occupied by legal firms.
Mm-hmm.
So it's obviously lawyers can indeed work late or later than usual. So maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 o'clock, whatever. So the cleaners typically go in sort of later in the evening to do their cleaning of the office. And the cleaners said that they could hear children whispering. So they'd be cleaning the office and they'd hear the children whispering. Now, whether or not this was confirmed or speculated upon by a historian or a medium, I cannot say. But the idea was that the children weren't allowed. Children weren't allowed to speak or acknowledge that when children died. So if one of the kids had died of like TB or whatever. Whatever ghastly Victorian illness, cholera, TB, Christ knows, what would make them be carted off. They weren't allowed to talk about it, but they did talk about it amongst themselves at night. Going, so basically the cleaners would be out emptying waste paper baskets and things like that, and they'd hear
children
whispering to each other. Nice and creepy, isn't it?
Yeah, lovely and creepy, yeah.
It happens. Interesting.
Right, okay, well, we move on to the next story.
Okay.
Man, is this 4 pages?
I have always enjoyed the paranormal for entertainment, but kept with me a healthy dose of skepticism when it came to real-life stories. Growing up, my mother was very much into the supernatural, or anything paranormal. Psychic, ghosts, the afterlife, you name it. This installed in me, from a very young age, a skeptical outlook on things of this nature. Instead, I would learn how psychic and paranormal expert fake evidence or cold read and things of this nature to basically debunk my mum. Although I always was entertained by her stories on some level, she would always tell me stories about my supposed gift to communicate with ghosts from a young age and how my family members refused to babysit me because I creeped them out too much. I also have a lot of memories of being young and strange. Unexplainable and downright creepy things happened to me all the time. But I would just cope with it by justifying how there must be some logical explanation, such as sleepwalking, or just my overactive child's mind, or something. There is one experience, though, that always stuck with me I witnessed as an adult. I wouldn't say it changed my mind, but there is something about this I cannot let go of, or rationalize away. I even get emotional and start to tear up a little when I think about it today, which is unlike me. I am now 28 years old, but when I was 21, I worked in a 4-star hotel spa named Earth Castle in Scotland, located just outside of Stirling, where many of the bloody and violent wars Scotland is historically known for took place. This is a real place and already has a reputation for being haunted. Feel free to Google it if you like. I want to tell you my experiences of working in this hotel and the strange events I experienced while working there. To give context, the hotel is made up of 2 main buildings. The first is a new building, a typical hotel where the guests stay with luxury dining and spa, etc. The other building is the castle itself, which is mainly only used for weddings, and one time Sean Penn stayed with us while filming a movie. That was pretty cool. I worked as a kitchen porter. My job was to wash dishes, clean up, basically all the kitchen duties which didn't involve cooking, to allow the chef to focus on preparing the food. Whenever there was a wedding which needed to be catered for, some of us would be sent up to the castle to work there. Eventually, I refused to work in the castle. Of course, the staff there knew about the castle's reputation and would tell each other stories about what they had heard. In my skeptical mind, I simply rationalized it as local entertainment and just got on with my work. One of the most frequent occurrences that would be reported is that whenever guests would stay in the castle, they would phone the front desk in the main building and tell us they could hear children playing and running around, and ask if we could send someone up to deal with the children. There were never any children in the building. The castle was always reserved for the bride and groom to have the place to themselves. I cannot stress how common this complaint was. Almost everyone who stayed in the castle reported the same story of being disturbed by the sounds of children playing in the hallways. Sometimes, late at night, I could hear the sounds of running coming from the upstairs balcony in the central room of the castle. If I was ever brave enough to go investigate, it would stop. The basement floor of the castle has been turned into a few guest rooms and storage space for the staff to use. It looked like any other floor of a hotel, not the creepy basement of a castle you would expect. There are reports that this floor is haunted by a groundskeeper. And also I have a few stories about people telling me about a phantom dog they could hear barking. I never encountered either of these spirits, but the reason I am mentioning it is that the basement floor of this castle especially terrified me. Every time I was there, I felt the most uncomfortable feeling, like when people tell you that they feel someone is watching them, or something. That entire floor gave me the most uneasy feeling, as if I could feel someone breathing down my neck, or I was surrounded by something. I was never able to go there without feeling stiff, and having the most horrible feeling of dread come over me. It's hard to put into words. I hated going down there. If you stand outside the castle facing it, there is a dining room just to the left of the entrance on the ground floor. In this room, there is an enormous painting of a woman. I forget who she is. A wife of the commander or something who lived there. This painting was also especially creepy. She had such a stern look in her face, which I guess was common for that era and style. Very regal-looking. There were a lot of unexplained noises that came from the area this painting is located, like knocking and banging, etc. One time, a group of us was standing in that room, commenting on how depressing the painting looked, only to be interrupted by a slow scratching noise that went all the way from the top to the bottom of the 10-foot-high wall the painting was hanging on. Old castles like this do not have hollow walls. Not like a loose piece of stone could have been falling inside the hollow wall or anything, which was my first thought. We could not figure out where this noise came from. My most frightening moment inside that castle happened one night during a wedding. The chefs had finished with their jobs and had taken everything back down to the main building. I was left in the kitchen to finish washing up and cleaning. The guests had left, and the bride and groom were, well, it's not my business what they were up to. The only other people in the castle were a few remaining waiting staff, also finishing tidying up. I went out the side door to the castle to have a cigarette. Let me take a second to describe the layout of the kitchen for you. The southwest corner of the kitchen was the entrance to the kitchen. The southeast corner was the washing up area where I was working, and the northeast corner was a passageway to a small room where we kept plates, cutlery, and a walk-in fridge. When I came back into the kitchen after finishing my cigarette, I could hear someone working in the back room, moving cutlery around and stacking plates, normal sounds of someone else working, so I paid no attention to it and got back to washing dishes. After a few minutes, I heard the working sounds from the other room stop, and the room fell silent for a while. Sounded like nobody was moving, which I thought was strange. Another piece of information that you need to know is that me and one of the girls I worked with at the time would play this game, where we would try to creep up on each other and scare the other person. When the sounds of working stopped and there was an unusual silence, I figured
Aha. This is that girl. She is about to try to scare me. My plan was to continue working like normal. Then, when she jumped out to try to scare me, I would be cool as a cucumber and be like, nice try, haha. I waited for a full minute. She never jumped out. I waited for a second minute. Still nothing. Thinking she was just really committed to this joke, I went to investigate. I walked into this room, and nobody was there. I cannot describe how hard my heart jumped when I walked into the room to find nobody there. I started questioning my own sanity and freaking out. I definitely heard someone working back there for a good 30 to 60 seconds before it stopped. The workstations the chefs used formed a kind of alley you had to walk through to get out of the kitchen. Nobody could have left the kitchen without walking directly by me washing dishes, and since I was on high alert, I definitely would have noticed someone leaving. The incident really freaked me out. I had to leave the building for a while, and really did not want to go back in to finish my shift. Another time, I was working in the same kitchen, and the night security guy came through looking confused and told me to follow him. This security guy also had more than his fair share of creepy stories while walking around this building at night, but we will get back to that in a minute. He took me through to a room at the back, which had a small bar, and was used to entertain the wedding guests sometimes. This room was not in use that night. He asked me to tell him if I could smell anything. Upon stepping into this room, I immediately was hit with an overwhelming smell of cigar smoke. He insisted nobody had been using this room, and the guests left a while ago. Apparently, this room was previously used as the aforementioned commander's study, where he would draw up battle plans and spend time alone. Since I was normally working quite late, I knew this night security guy pretty well. We talked about all the creepy stuff we had both encountered in the castle, and he was insistent that it was not just stories. He began telling me all of his stories and just how common they occurred. After all, he was the guy who had to go check the castle out every time a guest complained about children running around. He told me his encounters were so frequent and unignorable, he had begun to do deep research into the history of the castle and its previous inhabitants. Apparently, there were two children who had died in a fire there once, the children of the woman in the painting in the dining room. Their nanny had run back into the building to try to save them and was also killed by the fire. The night security guy told me he had personally taken a photograph of the castle, and in one of the upstairs rooms, slightly left of the entrance, you could clearly see a nanny with two children standing in front of her, looking out the window at him. Although shaken from another strange experience, a little of my rational, skeptical mind was still there. He was a tall, slim man in his 40s, spent a lot of time alone, walking around a castle, investigating disturbances constantly. I figured he might have been exaggerating or making it up for a good ghost story, but the next day he brought in the photo to show me. In the upstairs window, just like he said, was two children and their nanny looking directly out of the window. Clear as day. I don't know if that man still works there or not, but he owns a picture that will give you the creeps. He doesn't seem to have put it online,
I looked. If anyone from Aerith Castle reads this, and a man matching that description still works there as a night security guard, tell him I am looking for this picture. Send it to me. Once, he showed me this photo. That was the last time I was ever in that castle. Every time a wedding was happening, I would refuse to go cater for it. I'm not going. Send someone else. Eventually, I was fired from that job, because me and the manager would frequently fall out over this. But I honestly don't care. I never wanted to go near that place again. Despite keeping my skepticism, I admit there was something about that place that just wasn't right. I will remember that job and that castle until the day I die. Just thinking about being back in that building gives me the creeps. One last thing. If you did decide to Google this castle, you may see that there was a national news story about the castle where someone snapped a photo during one of the weddings and captured an eerie green ghost shape in the picture. This photo was taken in the room we smelled the cigar smoke in. Although this is an old news story, I didn't read about it or see this picture until today. This is what triggered me to share these stories. I hope you enjoyed them.
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
Yeah.
They were good. That was good.
That was good.
Yep.
There's not much else to really...
Other than, if you do work or know someone that works in Aerith Castle, get in touch. Troubles
yeah, there. And the security guard again.
Again? Security yeah, guard 40s? Yeah.
Getting a, we've got a wee theme in security guards this week.
We should call it Weirder Security Guards.
Yeah, Weird Security Guards, the podcast.
That's it.
Turning it into a movie.
Okay, so yeah, no, it was good, wasn't it?
That was good.
And quite typical, you know, the whole noises and
yeah.
I think it's quite interesting. They were just slagging off the woman, and they got a nice scratchy noise.
Yeah.
Scratching's quite a common thing.
Yeah.
Scratches. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so that's taken us beautifully to the owl.
Has
so,
it?
Yeah.
No way,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah. So what do you think about those stories then? The first one,
interesting.
Yeah,
from a scientific quotation marks perspective. I found that interesting. Second one, yeah, very typical of working in hotels and castles and the like, places with history.
Yeah, and listen, see, I'll try and say this very quickly, but I thought it was quite interesting. Just a lot of castles used to be very, very worried about having a reputation for being haunted, but since most haunted, and this explosion in interest in investigating the paranormal, now there are plenty of hotels that actually market themselves as being haunted.
Yes,
to get people in. Yeah. So I think it's really quite interesting whether or not Aerith Castle, we have done no research nor Googling.
No.
But it's interesting that if we go to the website, see if it mentions the ghost.
Yeah,
because I remember that the SSPR to which I belong is years ago, we tried to organise a vigil in a really quite old and historically important castle that was now a luxury hotel, and most of its business was through weddings and things, and they were absolutely terrified of being discovered, of it getting out that we would
from their point of view, people wouldn't want to stay there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but if I think even now, if you go to their website, I'll just have to check that in case I blot out the name of the castle. Do you know what I'll do? I'll check the website.
Yeah.
And if the website does say, and we've got a ghost, come on, say, then I'll tell you which castle it was. Okay, but it's interesting how that change in attitude.
Yeah.
But Aerith Castle, I want to go. I want to stay.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
Yeah. Interesting what the policy is. Presumably, when people phone up and complain about the children, you say, oh, don't worry, sir, the children aren't alive.
Yes, would don't you worry, like they're us... not alive children, they're dead children.
Yeah, would you like us to send up the exorcists?
Yeah. Get Wally the security guard, he'll be up to fix it.
Yes, the security guard will be up with some holy water.
Yeah. Right, we need to wrap this up because thank you for listening. That's all she wrote this week. So,
and listen, a sincere, heartfelt thanks for writing in. That's brilliant. Thank you. If you do want your stuff read out, and I really enjoy reading them out, and I love these stories. This is why we exist. First-hand accounts. There's nothing better than a first-hand account.
Yeah, but just remember, we're reading them out on a podcast. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, and if you can make them, do you know what? I would see if you can try and make it one sheet of A4.
That would be good.
That would be my
one of them that was like 4 pages. Anyway, yeah. So if you want to do that, you can do that at weirderthingspodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, or indeed Facebook. Can you message?
You can get us on the Facebook.
Can you attach files to Facebook?
I think you can do that as well if you're lazy. And we're also on the Twitter as well. So okay. Weirder Podcast, I think. Right. Anyway, so that was that. See you all next week. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you for your emails. Goodbye.
Bye. Cheerio.
Cheerio.